All right, guys, welcome to the CrossFit Grandview podcast. Today I have a guest, David Ulmer, on here. He was a former member. He's been a head coach all over Columbus and has owned his own affiliate for the last 6 years, CrossFit IPA. He's back joining us. Me and him are good buddies. So Dave and I were out having a couple beers, eating some tacos about a month ago. And so we just started kind of commiserating on, like, as usual, like the old days of us getting into CrossFit back in like 2009, 10, when we first were training together, and even just how we started even before that. And part of what this brought up is also what's on our mantra wall at the gym. We have like a moss wall and it says, heart is what makes it great. So you can take that out of context and make some funny jokes about it. I think right when we put it up, that's exactly what happened. But, you know, applying that into CrossFit, you know, we really got to chatting as far as, like, you know, how CrossFit's evolved, even how and why I think it got really popular. And you know, we were discussing a little bit, like, why CrossFit, I think, exploded the 20 years leading into CrossFit was all things to try and make fitness really easy. Mm-hmm. Things like selectorized equipment, curves, you know, where you can wear your street clothes and get a workout in 10 minutes and you don't even break a sweat. At home, like thigh masters and the things that shock your abs.
Yeah, a lot of kind of as seen on TV, you know, infomercial equipment. Yeah, like, you know, the Total Gym 2000, Chuck Norris stuff, the Thigh Masters, things like that. I mean, not that this stuff is all bad, but just a lot of this equipment that you could do at home and possibly do watching TV or something like that, right? And the only really, you know, kind of group fitness things you would think about during that time, and, you know, it was maybe aerobics for women, right? There wasn't a lot of maybe more intense forms of group exercise and resistance training at that time, you know. The weight room was for mostly for guys, right? Or just people that wanted to lift weights, and then there were some other forms of group training. But yeah, really until the late 90s and Glassman came along with CrossFit, was really kind of all this stuff was put into one, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of multiple modalities and just looking at training a little bit differently than it had been done before.
Bodybuilding and drugs was a big, I mean, that was, for a long time, that was fitness. It was. Mm-hmm. I used to go to a gym, a world's gym, which was all the like local bodybuilders, just huge guys. And I just remember the place smelled like tanning for some reason, like really extreme.
It had a specific smell.
Yeah, it had like a tanning sort of smell. And I remember just like being like this 145 pound kid doing like rope tricep things. And looking at these dudes with arms this big and being like, this is not working. But that was fitness. That's how I knew fitness, like back in the 90s. And yeah, so like we were saying, CrossFit came around and it was something that was, it was real, it was simple. And I think more than anything for people who, you know, like for myself, like I didn't do like PEDs or performance enhancing drugs, and I'd read these bodybuilding I'm like looking at like Jay Cutler's like routine and trying to like mimic it, and I'm like, why isn't this working for me?
Why aren't you growing?
Yeah, I was like, wow. I started doing CrossFit, and that's when I noticed like this is something that's working for me now. Like I'm growing some muscle, like these movements and like these like full body like moves and these hard workouts are like changing me, and these are really working. And then I think as people would see that happening, that's why it really caught on, because everyone had kind of just been screwing around with all these fitness modalities that weren't working well for them. And this was something that, like, it really worked. If we're just going to be, like, simple, like, CrossFit worked. And it was real. And it wasn't, you know, a gimmick or bullshit. Early CrossFit was a lot of, you know, there weren't gyms really around. There were some, but it was minimal. But it was like you looking at a website, grabbing a pair of dumbbells, like heading down to your local track and doing thrusters and sprinting around the track as fast as you can. Like that was a workout. I actually pulled up a workout. It was from like, I remember it was a weird workout that I did in the early days of it, and I'll read it to you. I just pulled it up here on my computer. It was two rounds for time and load of right arm barbell push press, 12 reps. So you loaded—
single arm barbell, yeah.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. loaded a barbell, left arm deadlifts for 12 reps, 800 meter run. Then you did the opposite, left arm press, right arm deadlifts, 800 meter run, two rounds. So it's 2 miles of running and then all those presses and deadlifts. Mm-hmm. Ideally, you would have two bars or you're going to switch weight for the deadlift and the press.
Yeah.
And that workout was so weird and awkward, but I remember being so sore and like so lit up, and it didn't take all that long. You know, I warmed up, I got into it, I was done with the whole thing in, you know, 30 minutes, mm-hmm. start to finish, maybe 40. And it was so effective. I just remember how effective that weird workout was. But it was hard. I mean, I pushed myself because I would put my comments in those old school like CrossFit yeah. like comment boards. Mm-hmm. And I'd chase after like, you know, this dude from like Kandahar, Afghanistan, who's like stationed over there. Like yeah. I'd be trying to like get his time or something. I'd yeah, kill myself.
And that world was a lot smaller then, right?
Yep.
You know, you could potentially just see people, you know, regularly on the message boards or the comments putting yeah. in times. Yeah. It was just, like you said, it's done in a half hour. It was nice because it was an efficient use of time and there was some format to what you were doing and you feel you got some resistance training, some weight training, along with, you know, some aerobic training, right?
Yep.
Just some, you know, being able to breathe hard and tax some other systems in your body. And I think that's kind of what was nice about it. At least for me, you know, like we can kind of talk about kind of who came into that first era of CrossFit, what kind of people that attracted, and just the idea that it was a fairly efficient use of your time to get a lot of stuff done. And if you weren't interested in being a bodybuilder and, you know, taking 6,000 calories a day and taking supplements and being, you know, full of muscle, right? How can I get a good workout to an hour, hour and a half a day?
Yep.
And just get, you know, get in a very athletic general, you know, the GPP, general physical mm-hmm. preparedness, right? So I don't want to be huge and bulky. I want to be able to go out and run a 5K, but deadlift 500 pounds, right? Yep. How do I get there, you know?
This was like pre-sport CrossFit too, if you guys are listening. Like, yeah, they'd had two CrossFit games. It wasn't something that was on the radar though. I mean, the first one was an invite only.
You walked down the street, maybe someone heard of it. It wasn't a normal thing that people have heard of.
Yeah.
It was very kind of still on the fringe.
Yep. And kind of where I was thinking of like taking this. So CrossFit was a training program for life and to get better outside of the gym, where for better or worse, something that the games did is it made it a sport where a workout like this, and we have a lot of guys maybe you who are listening to this in the gym, like they wouldn't participate in this workout because they don't know how that would get them better at the sport of CrossFit.
Yeah.
Or on the other hand, it's also been, and for better or worse, you know, some of this stuff was such a high intent and some of these moves were risky, where other people cherry pick the workouts that are going to be, you know, I'm going to bike, do some sit-ups, jump on a box, do push-ups, mm-hmm. run 100 meters, some hang power cleans, you know, mm-hmm. very risk-adverse like moves where they're going to skip that workout as well, where a workout like this, it's just like that was old CrossFit. It was straightforward, hard work, and it's what made it so great. It changed your body. It got you out of your comfort zone. And I think, you know, where I want to go almost with this is just like talk about like, I think we need to get back to that to some degree. Mm-hmm. And I'm at fault, and we were talking about it both, like where we're like, you know, we found ourselves over the last, especially probably 3 years, maybe not programming some workouts because we don't think anyone will show up to the gym. Maybe mm-hmm. something like this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, oh man, and it like makes us, it upsets us too. It's like, well, if I program a workout with bear crawls in it, like instead of my 20-person class, am I gonna have 3 in there? Yeah. You know, because they don't wanna do that, or they don't think it's making them better. And really it is. Like, I'll try and preface these weird workouts sometimes when I like put a post like, hey, I know this doesn't
look right. All right,
guys, hear me out. Yeah. Show up here. You will remember this workout. Like, we did this one. It's an old main site workout that I've done a few times where you go up into a, you kind of go into like an inversion on the rings and then you mm-hmm. lower really slowly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you do that 7 times and then you do 15 ring push-ups. And it's 5 rounds of that. And it takes like a half hour to get through it at least. Especially if you want to do some decent quality on that.
Yeah, really slow eccentrics and lowering it. It's not for time, right? It's for quality.
It is.
Just, that's a hard line to do within kind of the CrossFit structure with a class, because it's an environment that everything's kind of timed, and like, that's great. It's either for time or, you know, you're, you know, doing rounds. There's a certain like measurable, repeatable factor to it, but sometimes like the off the clock stuff where you kind of focus on, it should always be about quality, but it's really not about time or speed on this. It's like, you know, doing that inversion and lowering on the rings, like, it's of no benefit to rush it, right? The slower you go, the better you're gonna be. Yeah. So it's hard to kind of get people to change gears sometimes for that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's doable, and it's important, but sometimes you just, like, you have to work harder to kind of preface that mm-hmm. and make sure that that's the goal today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's, what I always say is, like, you won't remember, again, I like this one because everyone likes to do hang power cleans and 100-meter runs and, like, you know, burpees in small doses. I'm like, no one's gonna remember that 15-minute AMRAP of 100-meter runs, hang power cleans, and burpees. Everyone who does that workout with the inversions and the ring push-ups, you'll remember that workout 5 years down the road. Like, ooh, I remember that one. I was so sore in my lats and muscles I didn't even know I had, and I'd never been upside down on rings before. Man, that really woke up some stuff I didn't even know was there. So I think I'm not saying that's a workout you do even once a week, but when those weird ones come up once a month, that's the one I really want everyone to show up for, because that's gonna make, oftentimes that profound jump, like, could be like a gymnastics skill or shape, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't have muscle ups. Well, no.
Yeah.
But if you learn this shape that we're learning to get to the muscle up, it's going to have a profound effect on your fitness. And then you might get pull-ups, you know?
Yeah.
So you might get pull-ups instead of the bar muscle up we're really kind of working towards that day. So I just really want to, like, get people's heads wrapped around, you know, trying different things, getting out of their comfort zone, and doing stuff they wouldn't deem as, like, I don't know what this is getting me better at. Like, typically when people think of getting better, it's at increasing loading on a straightforward barbell lift or an Olympic lift. So, you know, whether it's a clean and jerk snatch, back squat, deadlift, or bench.
Which, like, is a measure. Yeah. I mean, it's not a false statement, but yeah, there's so many other good things that you don't, we know it helps in the long run, it makes you better, but it's sometimes hard to, for some people coming to the gym, this isn't their career life, like, what's this doing for me, you know? But you get very used to doing the things that you, like I said, push-ups, you know, box jumps, hang clean, like, this is stuff that you can measurably get better at, whether it's time, speed, increasing load and stuff, and that's great, but, like, sometimes the other weirder movements are things that all of a sudden you do something that you think you're strong and fit and athletic, and they do something a little bit different than you're used to, and you're like, really shocks you.
Yep.
Either, you know, bad you are at it, or just how sore it makes you, or how much you struggle with a little bit. And you kind of just realize, you've been kind of training in a very narrow window for a while. And like you said, not that you have to do bear crawls once a week in a workout, but all this stuff, moving your body in different ways, has a benefit, you know, whether it's just, you know, moving in a different direction, or, you know, maybe it's just, it's okay to have a day that's not as intense in a certain way and it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah. I like, I need to go back and watch a lot of the games events, but I kept up with the games. I watched little highlights of a lot of the events and read them. And I started getting a lot of texts and stuff, which was really cool, about the P-bars. So we have, I bought Doug Chapman's P-bars when he closed HyperFit down mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago. So he had like P-bars for dips and you could do walks. And I would incorporate those at the old gym. We had a little better place to store them. We're still trying to figure out how to do them. I'd have people walking on those things every week, and I'd have whole, like, I got it to where my whole class could, everyone, I mean, 60-year-old people, like, yeah. were all walking on those, and they loved it. In my classes, I do jump rope progressions. I actually do those about once a week. We'll, like, do singles, jump on one foot, jump on the other. We'll do some crosses, and then we'll kind of chain them together to like, finish up a warm-up.
It's funny, For years, when I moved here, I would work out lifestyle fitness stuff. And this is stuff when right before I joined your gym and I was still in Columbus doing, you know, main site stuff on my own at gyms around here. It was like a workout, but I used it as a jump rope warm up that I saw in Men's Health or Men's Fitness thing. It was like 20 reps of all these, you know,
yeah.
single unders, you know, just right leg, just left leg, alternating, you know, side to side. It was just this little thing that I just used it every day as like this kind of jump rope warm up I did. And I still remember it because I do it from time to time, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's super cool. And when you can get like a group of people flowing on that, it looks beautiful. And then what's cool is you're not just stuck in like one mode of, I know Chris Henshaw had a video of like, it was like all the daughter girls were doing like a aerobic capacity seminar. And it was some like running and single under workout that he wanted them to do. Or maybe rowing, I don't know. But mm-hmm. they couldn't do it. All of them could only do double unders and they're all clipping. So he's like, okay, we're gonna stop here. And got them all to like relearn. They had to like learn how to do singles. All I'm getting at is like, don't throw these like novel things out. And it's cool because like, since it's in the games now, it's a legitimate thing to do. You know, it's not like.
Yeah.
Any of these like people, for the most part at the gym, who are just taking normal classes are gonna be like in the CrossFit yeah. games as, at an individual level. But now it validates like that it's a
thing. Well, it's like what you said the other day between our conversation, you kind of have a moment, you're like, I told you so. You're like, yeah. I don't like to say it too often, but now that yeah. like, you know, it's been validated on an international stage and that this is now acceptable CrossFit stuff, you're like, yep. well, that's what I was saying before.
Yeah, yeah. The P-bar walks and the dips and the jump yeah. rope, and we do like sandbag work and all that type of stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, this is a valid test of fitness. I think COVID was, if they worked out during COVID and like made it a priority and they had their pair of dumbbells, that was a really good time to like switch your fitness up. You're doing all this unilateral work. Mm-hmm. You're yeah. running a lot. I personally, like we put out stuff that you could do for our gym with just a pair of dumbbells. Mike was right there every day. And that's all I did for my fitness through the whole, like I had access. I could go to my gym and back squat and stuff.
I did too, but I chose not to.
I chose not to.
I just wanted to be yep. home. And like I said, I could have gone there by myself. And maybe once or twice I did, but I was like, no, I'm just going to use this opportunity to like, maybe just lay out the heavy weights for all my body could probably use that mm-hmm. break and just kind of be, you know, do what I can at home. And
I had several people tell me it was the best shape they've ever been in that were doing that. Now they had more time on their hands. And so they're working out probably more frequently, but they're like, that COVID stuff was the best shape I've ever been in.
Maybe you shouldn't have bought the whole building now. You just guys work yeah. at home, would have saved you a lot of money.
Yeah, just keep putting those dumbbells. We're doing dumbbell living room workouts.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever.
Right. Yeah.
But no, it was just a point where it's like, man, it was cold too. Remember how cold it was? I mean, it was like April and snowing. People are going out to their garage and it was cold. But that made you tough. That was hard work. And that built a lot of character. And if you were working out in that, more than likely you were going hard. Mm-hmm. You're probably not gonna go do a soft effort in 35-degree garage, you know?
Yeah.
with dumbbells, rusty dumbbells, like mm-hmm. you're gonna get after it. So that was, I think, a really beneficial time for some people fitness-wise, where they're like, okay, I do have it in me to like suck it up and not just be in this very comfortable spot when I'm doing some training. You know, when we first got into CrossFit again, it was like, we're taking a pair of dumbbells out to Hoover Dam or a track, and you're gonna like run up and down some steps and do some thrusters. We're trying to emulate what they're doing on CrossFit. We're hanging rings over like football goalposts and getting like screamed at and, and stuff to get off the football field. Just doing hard work that takes you out of your comfort zone, especially that main site, because it was super random a lot of times, you know.
Yeah. Very, you know, we've always talked about this before. It's very gymnastics heavy.
Yep. Because
you know, that was kind of Glasson's background. I think, like, I mean, that was really the base of his exercise pyramid was bodyweight stuff.
That was, what is it? It's nutrition, like metabolic conditioning, then gymnastics, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes weightlifting.
Yeah. And I think that's just, you know, once you get past the age of 10, right, gymnastics gets really hard because you're an adult and you're heavy and it's hard to move around, right? That's, if you're running a gym, it's a very difficult thing to broadly scale and adjust, because you can always adjust the weight in a bar or a bar, you know, a dumbbell or a kettlebell.
Yep.
You can't adjust your own body weight. Now, you can get around it in certain ways, but it's a very tough modality for, you know, adults of all sizes and ages to really do. But I think it has a lot of benefit. And once you can even take a strong, accomplished athlete and start doing, you know, the press handstands and, you know, L-sit rope climbs from your butt. Like, there's just so many things that are challenging even for strong athletes to do. And I, you know, speaking of workouts, you know, that you won't remember the random hang clean box jump run workout, but I remember years ago when I was at a Polaris I was going through some old main site workouts, and there was one that was just like three rounds of, you know, like touch and go rope climbs. Like, and you couldn't touch, like, you, when you came down, you had, it was like a 15 foot rope. You couldn't touch your feet. You like had to touch your butt. It was touch and go. So it's basically there's no break in the rope climb. You had to go up and down three times.
Butt touch.
Like a butt touch or a touch and go. It wasn't just like stop and rest and
get
a drink of water, get some more chocolate. It was just like boop, 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 boop.
Three times, legless climbs. Up and down, touch and go, three legless climbs into like full depth parallel push-ups, strict, or handstand push-ups.
Yep.
I think it took me forever.
Yep.
Like five rounds of that. And I was like, that was really humbling. I wasn't even breathing hard because I was moving so damn slow. I mean, I was a little bit, but you know what I mean?
That sticks out in my
memory very distinctly.
Yep.
Not a lot of other stuff they did. It was fun, don't get me wrong, but like, yeah, the truly humbling weird ones that are outside of your strength zone is definitely stuff that you remember.
I really credit.
And you tend to avoid it in your own programming or your own training. Like, I don't 100%. Want to do that again. I was really bad at that.
Yeah, 100%. I think where it really goes, like, it works for both sides. So like people who are, you know, they have trouble with maybe some of the more challenging moves, and for maybe people who are so focused on their placement in the open or things like that. I really, you know, for that crowd, I'll use Graham as a great example. The entire reason, well, one of the reasons, and he wouldn't have won it had he not done this, was he tackled every weird hard workout that came up on main site in 2010 leading into the games. He had three workouts, I remember, two or three, where he did ring handstand push-ups that were on main site, and he struggled with them a lot.
Even just kicking up into it in the beginning was really kind of
He really
unnerving.
Struggled with those in the gym. But he had experience on those in the gym, and they were up off the ground more than they were at the games. Mm. He went to the games and absolutely destroyed the field and won that event. Like, without that 100-point thing, he doesn't win.
What was it with? Was it cleans or something? What was it with?
Seven rounds of three power cleans at 205, four ring handstand push-ups.
Yeah.
So it was a quick one, and he was running between the two things, where most of the people were like, they were trying to figure it out in the warm-up area. He he did that workout. I'm telling you, to this day, like, you get the, you know, Matt Frazier or, you know, Justin Medeiros, like the modern guys, to go race him in that workout right now. I mean, he was like right around, he might have been sub 4 minutes, right at like 4 minutes on that 7-round workout. He was flying. But it was because he did all that weird stuff. I remember when handstand walking hadn't even became a thing, really. Main site workout came out. I watched him fall. I tried it a little bit, and I think I just tapped out. I watched that dude fall, I don't know, 40 times all over the place in the gym trying to figure it out. And he completed the main site workout falling 40 times, and he's probably like beat up like he played a football game.
Yeah.
But he figured it out like pretty much that day. But it just goes to show you, like, hey, working on that weird stuff will pay big dividends, because the moves at the games don't get easier. You know, they get harder and more challenging. So being able to challenge yourself with these trickier moves in all different ways, even if that specific one doesn't come up, you're going to be more adaptable to be able to do that. But I think even just the mentality, I wanted to tell a story. I have it written down, and this is, there's no good segue to this, but so this is a mentality of like old school CrossFit at the old Rogue Gym. So Dave was a member there. He lived on OSU campus. So Dave was super fit. For those of you who are just getting into it, he still is.
He was. No, sure.
But he really was. To the effect of being one of the top CrossFit athletes in the world, really, at the time. He would ride his bike, 15 miles, let's say. Maybe it was less. Maybe it was 10. I don't know. Ride his bike into the gym, do the workout of the day that we had there. We didn't have a shower or anything. He'd grab a bucket that we had in the gym, fill it up with water, strip down pretty much naked right on the blacktop, grab a bar of soap, do a bucket shower straight outside, just chisel. And I remember people in class who worked out were like, Jesus Christ. Like, looking at you doing that. Just completely taking like a hobo shower, yeah, right out there. Putting on a fresh outfit because he's maybe had to go to lunch or meet someone somewhere or go to work. You know, you were like a waiter or something. You're going to go to work. Put on your gear and then just ride your bike another 10 miles out right into that. And I'm like, not that there's no one out there like that, but that was like, that was extreme, but it wasn't that extreme for that era. Like, that was like something you just saw at the gym.
You know, I was just like, at the time, I was thinking, you know, just thinking about that. I was in my late 20s when I moved here and we started, I started the gym with you, and yeah, life is just simple. I don't even think I had found my dog yet at that point. Yep. I worked at night, you know, bartending and serving in a restaurant. And so I had my days free and I was like, I'm just going to work out a lot.
Yeah.
I got time. I'm just going to bike there and just do as much as I can in my off time. I don't really have a ton of, you know, I got a lot of time to myself.
Yep.
A lot of things to do, and life wasn't complicated. So yeah, I just took advantage of that. I was young and had more energy that I, you know, and so.
Do the class.
It didn't seem that odd to me.
Five plates on a bar and squat it.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was that weird at the time. But yeah, I always liked doing that stuff. Even when I was down at Fit Club and I lived at Grandview, I would kind of run into class sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like about a 5K.
Yeah.
You know, just put in some volume where you could and doing a little bit of endurance work and getting on the bike or running long distance, yeah.
I remember you doing that.
Because I couldn't, you know, I didn't work at the gym or live at the gym, so like I had to, like, I wanted to get my workout in, but I had to get some other training in during the day if I wanted to keep up the volume and, you know, maybe compete one day and, you know, go to regionals and things like that. So I was just always looking for ways to kind of do some more training.
Do you remember parking at that McDonald's and running in the middle of the wintertime and,
Yeah, I think I do remember that.
I remember you, I can remember it well, because you came in, you know, taking off scarves and some jackets and stuff. And, you know, when you start to defrost after a run and you're about to do class, and I was like, where were you running at? And you're like, oh, I parked at McDonald's. And I'm like, that's probably 2.5 miles away. Do class, and then you were you left your car there, so.
Yeah, you're going back to get it.
You're running back. And I'm like, man, he just put 5 miles in running, and he hit like this super hard class. So, again, and it paid huge dividends. I mean, he was an incredible competitor and crushing it. So, I have another note here. It's like, don't be afraid of the outdoors. So.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the kind of the COVID thing, too.
If you're tough and able to work out outside like that, it really, there's something about that. I try and get us outside a lot, just in our gym programming. You know, when the weather, like today, we're dragging sleds and doing sandbags and all that kind of stuff. That's like our workout today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're just outside for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I think it's really important to just be outside as much as you can when you can, especially in Ohio where we get shoved inside for 3 months out of the year.
Yeah, you know, I still, you know, when the weather's good and stuff, if I have some equipment at home, just kind of going to, you know, Whetstone Park or going somewhere where you can take a few things and say, or I'm going to train for an hour, there's some things I want to do, and you know, I've got some rings I can throw around a tree. You know, I know there's a pull-up bar somewhere in the off the trail over there. You know, there's, you know, some of the concrete picnic tables. Maybe I can jump on those like a box jump. But just, yep. It's at least for me being a creative person, like it's nice to kind of use my environment in a way that I can spend time, some time outside and get some good hard workouts in. I think that's just fun. I'd rather work out outside than a gym anytime.
Yeah. No, it's great. I think bringing this back to like how we can apply this if we're listening to it. And the one thing I'm not trying to tell anyone to do is like, I think a lot of it is like, if you haven't stretched some of these comfort zones, try it, like get outside. Or if there's a move that you normally avoid or a workout style you normally avoid, get in there and try it. It's normally not going to be as bad as you think. And what I'm not trying to tell anyone to do is grind through injuries or moves that aren't safe. Like, if you've got bad shoulders, like trying to swing and heave your body into like a ring muscle up is probably not a good idea. And you should modify that movement and scale it in some way that is safe and efficient for your body that allows you to get through it. You know, I think scaling, the way we need to think about it is it should be used as a progressive tool to move beyond where your current level is and not as a crutch to avoid difficulty.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not trying to tell people like, hey, when it's this day that is like really injurious to you, like you've got bad knees and we're doing a trillion squats, like just grind through that pain. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is come and do the workouts that are going to take you out of your comfort zone a bit.
I've found that most people sell themselves way too short in the gym and what they're capable of. And so I think as coaches and people that run gyms, like it's kind of your job to kind of like, no, you can do it, right? And they end up, you know, they get through it. It's not as bad as they thought, you know, they thought it was going to be. And then they've got that confidence going forward to kind of, you know, take on something else, whether it's, you know, a heavy weight or it's a long workout. Especially being, you know, our age, as long as we've been this, like we know when people are capable of stuff, when they're not. And yep. We talked about this before. I'm not the type of coach that's going to push someone beyond what I actually think they're capable of. Now, they may not think they're capable of something, but I know they are. I can see it, right? Yep. So just being able to kind of, you know, and know your athletes, and that takes some time to get to know them, like what they're capable of doing or what you know they are inside, just by them, you know, putting up an objection. But it's never in a way that, like I said, if I know that you have a bad knee or bad shoulders, I'm going to push you, but it's going to be a way that safely works around that or gets you to, you know, the goals you need, but without causing more injury.
Yep.
Something I've just, I realized, I just, whether it's like asking someone to do a certain amount of calories on the bike or subbing stuff out or doing something, and sometimes you'll get some groans, you're like, you can do it. I know. Yep. This is why you're here. You're capable of it. And just kind of leading people in that direction sometimes, it just, you know, it's immensely satisfying when they do get it done, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I think the takeaway here, guys, that we really just want to kind of bring home is do hard stuff, do weird stuff, get outside of your comfort zone. And this whole thing, when you do all that, it's a lot more fun too.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I think like we kind of get into it because we were, you know, former athletes and we still were used to doing really hard, physically challenging stuff. So even though things were difficult, we had the confidence in the background to do this difficult stuff because we were used to it. Like we were kind of physically confident in knowing the things that were going to be hard, but like we've done stuff like this before, but it's kind of convincing, you know, people that maybe CrossFit is their first exposure to something that's really physically uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And just knowing that like people are capable of a lot, but just kind of trying to get them to the point where they can take on anything and just know that some stuff's going to propose more of a challenge than others, but you can do this. At the end of the day, like you have much more resolve inside you than you think you do. And so I think that's, you know, that's part of having stuff in a group. That's kind of part of being in a community. That's part of having a coach that can kind of make that happen for you. Because if you are, you know, at home with your As Seen on TV fitness product in your basement, you're just not getting there. You know, you're just kind of, it's something, right?
Yeah.
But it's not really the things that are going to make you a well-rounded person and a well-rounded athlete and, you know, have great overall general fitness, you know?
Yep.
So
yeah.
I think it's where CrossFit's filled a big need in the last, you know, 20 years or so as far as, you know, something that people want to do. And, you know, there are a lot of spin-offs of it now. You know, it's kind of started, whether you love or hate CrossFit, I mean, there's lots of other things that have tried to, you know, do a similar model to it. And that's great. It's all good. It's getting people moving and getting group fitness, you know, back to something that people want to do.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. We're going to be coming back with some more stuff.
Definitely.
Hopefully sooner than later. We'll see you guys next time.